Thank you, Joseph. Good morning. Again, it's a blessing to walk in and see the back of your head, and now to see the front of your face is even better. It gets me even more excited. What a blessing to be here with you today. I did want to start out with a quick thank you at the Watch Night service, New Year's Eve. Kim and I were presented with a very generous love gift, and we are so grateful to that to you for that, ultimately to the Lord. But thank you for those of you who participated in that in such a kind and loving way. And as Kim and I, we definitely are so grateful to be a part of this fellowship, and would gladly do everything we do with no reward in this life at all, but the Lord has graciously allowed us to be blessed by each of you, not only financially, but in so many ways. But we just want to thank you for that, and I apologize for it being belated. We've been starting our thoughts of one anothering in 2017 is a theme that we actually launched on January the 1st of being a Sunday. That Sunday morning we started thinking about these New Testament commands to love each other. 36 of them, as we bring them all together and find some of them are repeated numerous times, we came up with 36 of them in the New Testament letters. So far we've looked a little bit at Romans 12:5 that tell us that we're members of one another. We looked at that on that first Sunday morning, and then that Wednesday evening we talked about James 5:16, confessing our faults to one another and praying for one another. And then two Sunday mornings ago we spoke about admonishing one another, counseling, cautioning, and correcting each other. I'd encourage you, if you didn't get to hear any of those, I would encourage you to go back and listen to them online on the website under recordings. In fact, I'd encourage you to listen to all the messages that you don't hear for whatever reason from this assembly. I would encourage you to go back, and the Wednesday night devotionals are on there as well. So I would encourage you to do that. This morning we're going to be considering another of those one another commands, and we find it in the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to invite you to turn there, if you haven't already, chapter 10 of this very interesting and enlightening book. So much that we find here in the book of Hebrews about the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He is so much better, not only so much better than the Old Testament law, but so much better than anything and anyone. I'd encourage you to spend time in the book of Hebrews. But this morning, we're just going to be looking at a couple of verses, but for sake of context, we're going to begin our reading at verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much there in that paragraph, and I wish we had time to look more deeply at it. But I will encourage you, as very likely you already noticed, there are three let us's in this passage. Verse 22, let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast. And we're going to be looking at the third of the three let us's here in verse 24. And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. So what we're going to do this morning, as we dive into looking at this topic, what we're going to do is we're going to consider four considerations regarding considering one another in 2017 or any time. Okay, 2017. 2018, it worked in the year 17, and it's always relevant for the believer in the Lord Jesus, those who are one of the one another's. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you fall into that category of a one another, whether you fellowship at this local church or you're visiting with us from somewhere else today. We're all part of this body of Christ, these one another's. So let's start out considering, first of all, the deeper meaning of considering one another. Looking at the deeper meaning of that. The thought of to consider, and as we presented it very briefly, as we looked over all 36 of those on January the 1st, we said that it means to pay attention to. To pay attention to. Kim and I are keeping our grandsons part of the weekend, two of our grandsons, part of the weekend. Jordan and Ashley were with us, and then they left us with Judah and Levi. And it was really interesting yesterday evening. It's not that interesting in that it never happens before because you've all experienced it. But we're in there eating dinner, and Jordan and Ashley hadn't left yet, and my mom was there, and Joseph and Caitlin were there. And Judah was sitting in his high chair, and he starts calling everybody's name. Granny. And so Granny looks at him. Papa. Papa looks. Mama. Uncle Joe. Aunt Kate. He calls everybody. Gigi. And he's trying to get our attention, right? He's going to do something, but he doesn't want to do it until everybody is watching, okay? So, and some people he had to call twice because it didn't lick quite as quickly. Dad didn't, you know, he hears that all the time, so he's not as quick maybe to respond. But eventually he has everybody's attention. And I noticed that even with Judah, you know, Judah's only 8 months old, but he wants your attention. He wants you to pay attention to him. He wants you to consider him. Consider him in the biblical terminology that we're drawing today out of the New King James and the King James and other translations as well. This thought of considering one another. Considering one another. Now, depending on your translation, as I mentioned that, some of you may look, and as we read in the New King James, let us consider one another. It's very clear there that they're saying the idea is that we're to consider, pay attention to one another. Other translations would bring out or emphasize the thought that it's not considering one another so much, but considering how to do something, or considering to do something that will look at in just a few moments. But the thought is the same either way, but we're going to approach it from this idea that who we're to consider, or what we're to consider, is to one another. We have a Greek word here, and what we're going to do in looking at this kataneo, I always say I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I can't. So why do I do that? You can look at it and get a better idea probably than what I'm going to try to say anyway. But what I want us to do is very quickly, I want us to run through the nine times, we're going to look at it in eight little quick glimpses, that it's used in the New Testament. Translated sometimes consider, and sometimes we'll see it's another word. But I think it's really interesting because it helped me to take something like pay attention to. Okay, we all know what that means. But we want to look at the deeper meaning. That's what we're trying to consider here. We want to really dig down and get a little deeper idea. So I think as we look at the different uses and try to quickly go through them, it'll help us to understand just what does that mean to consider one another. What does that mean? Well, let's try to do it. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to the passages for sake of time. You are welcome to do that if you would like to. First of all, Luke 6:41, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he asks a question to those who may be criticizing their fellow brothers or sisters in Christ. And here's what he says, and he'll use the word, it's translated perceive in this verse. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? What's he saying? He's saying, how are you going to overlook a plank in your own eye, a big board stuck in your eye while you're trying to go and point out the speck in your brother's eye, your sister's eye, your one another's eye? So there the thought is, don't overlook that board, okay? So the same thing is, we take that same Greek word that I can't pronounce and we bring it into this context of considering one another. The thought is, don't overlook one another. In other words, to consider you, I can't overlook you. There's a lot of people in here today. Now, compared to some gatherings today, for some local churches and sporting events and political gatherings, this isn't that big of a gathering. But when we think about trying to consider everyone, it'd be easy to overlook. So we got to be careful that we don't overlook one another. Here's another thought out of the same book, the Gospel of Luke. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. And he's telling us not to worry. Not to worry. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What's he saying? Don't underestimate a bird. Don't underestimate a single flower in the field. Don't underestimate that, because it's very easy to take it for granted. Don't underestimate each other. Don't take each other for granted. Rather, consider each other. Just as the Lord Jesus said we should consider the ravens and the lilies. Look more closely. Here's a third one from the book of Luke. Luke, by the Spirit of God, really liked to use this particular Greek word. We find it here in Luke, and also we'll see it in the book of Acts. And here, the Lord Jesus is speaking to some people who were acting one way, but intending something else. They were pretending to be righteous in asking him a question about whether or not they should pay their taxes to Caesar. But in reality, there was something going on in their hearts. And here's the way Luke puts it. He says, but he, the Lord Jesus, perceived their craftiness and said to them, why do you test me? So as we bring this over into our verse, Hebrews 10:24, and we think about considering one another, we need to look below the surface of one another. The Lord Jesus, in just looking at the surface of how these people were presenting themselves, it was very different than what was under the surface. What's down deeper in you? What's down deeper in me that we're not going to show necessarily on Sunday morning? At least not sitting in the meeting. Paying more attention so as to understand others more deeply than simply their answer to, hi, how are you? Number four, Acts chapter 7 and verse 31. We read there regarding Moses and his encounter in the book of Exodus with the burning bush. And we read there, and when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him. Moses saw this sight. And he didn't just see the sight and say, hey, look at that bush. It's burning, but it doesn't burn up. I'm going to go check on this sheep over here. No, he said, I got to come more closely. I want to look at this thing up close and to see what is really going on. That's the idea that we have in considering one another. Getting up closer to really examine this other person. Well, let's continue on. A fifth one, also in the book of Acts. Peter is trying to take a nap before lunch one day, and during that nap time, God, as he sometimes did in that period of history, he spoke to Peter in a vision. Peter was like in a trance, he calls it. And he said that while he was there, he saw this vision of an object like a great sheet being let down by four corners out of heaven. And in Acts 11:6, Peter says, "When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air." As he considered what was in that vision, he was able to accurately identify what those animals were. They all were unclean animals according to the Jewish ceremonial law. They were things that he shouldn't eat. He's getting ready to eat lunch. And here are things, it's like, okay, here's a list of things you shouldn't eat. Now, the Lord was going to change that and say, "Peter, rise, eat, and kill," because he was getting ready to do something amazing in reaching out with the gospel to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, who the Jews looked at as unclean, and bring them all together into something we enjoy today as the body of Christ, the one another, the one another's. So, accurately identifying one another. Can I identify you? Not just by your name, not just by your face, but can I really identify you? And what makes you tick, at least a little bit of that? All right, also, one more that we'll look at in Acts. Like I told you, Luke, the author of Acts and the book of Luke, he really used this a lot. Acts 27 and verse 39, Luke is there on a ship with Paul and some others. Paul is being taken to Rome. He's going to appear in a courtroom before Caesar, the Caesar of the Roman Empire. And so as they're going, they're in a storm, and we find in Acts 27 and verse 39 that when it was day, they did not recognize the land. They couldn't tell where they were. But they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. As they were out there in a place where they didn't know where they were, they couldn't figure it out. They didn't have a GPS. The stars had not been shining for nights, and they couldn't tell. And here they look at this piece of land. They don't know what it is, but they consider a bay. There's where we can go. Part of paying attention to each other, part of considering one another, is really discovering one another. Now, some of you are sitting out there right now and you're saying, hold on. It's not that I don't want to discover somebody else, but you know, I don't want anybody to discover me. I want them to think I'm exactly what I look like when I come in here and sit in that pew. I don't want them to know me better than they know me. I don't want them to discover who I really am. You may be thinking that right now. But you see, we are members of one another. Romans 12:5. We are members of one another. We can't escape the reality of that, though we may try to escape the exercise of that. But we're to discover one another. We need to hurry on. Two more. Romans 4:19 and James 1:23-24. I think they have kind of the same thought here. In Romans 4:19, Paul is speaking of Abraham. And when God promised Abraham that he was going to father a son, Abraham was way beyond the time when his body could procreate. But we read there in Romans 4:19 that Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider, okay? In other words, he didn't look at the condition of his body and make the evaluation based on that. The same kind of thought we might have of recognizing the condition of one another. In James chapter 1, in 23 and 24, James talks about a man looking into a mirror. He said, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes or considers himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So what does he do? He looks in the mirror, as you did this morning. Trying to see if anybody looks like they didn't look in the mirror. And I can't see anybody that doesn't look like they looked in the mirror, but I can't see too well either. So, but look in the mirror and you see the condition of your face and of your hair. And then you regard that condition and then you address your face and hair according to what you saw was the condition. And that when we consider one another, that's what we're to do. We're to recognize what condition is this brother in? What condition is this sister in? I need to consider that in paying attention. And finally, one other thing I think is very important here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. One other usage of this Greek word. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Consider. And as he goes on in that passage, we sense that what he is trying to get us to do is to really look at the Lord Jesus and value him. And we're to value one another. We're to consider one another, to pay attention to one another and value one another. You know, we went to the dentist this week, Kim and I. I don't know where you take your wife for a date, guys, but, you know. The dentist, you know, his and her chairs and everything. I mean, it's really romantic. We went to the dentist, and the hygienist, she worked on our teeth and our gums and really went, what was she doing? She was considering my teeth. She was looking at every teeth individually. And then the dentist comes in, and he starts considering my teeth. He's trying to see what he can discover. He's trying to get up closer. He's trying to examine and recognize the condition and value my teeth so that I will be able to hopefully keep them. He doesn't want to overlook any teeth. He doesn't want to underestimate the importance. And he wants to even, through x-rays, go below the surface. And just like those people in the dental office, we're examining our mouths and our teeth. We're to consider one another. You see, the call to consider one another is a call to sincerely get to know one another. And again, some people here, that is so exciting to you. You're thinking, that's what I want. I want people to know me, and I want to know them. There's other people saying, hey, where is the nearest exit? Let me get out of here before he starts doing a hands-on type of thing in this room and we really have to discover somebody or be discovered. But wherever you are, and probably most of us are somewhere in between those two extremes, the call to consider one another is really a call to sincerely get to know one another. So first of all, we've considered the deeper meaning of considering one another. Let's now go on in the verse and consider the true purpose of considering one another. The true purpose of considering one another. Go back there to the verse and we'll read it again. Verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Well, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know Greek to interpret here what the true purpose of considering one another is. It's very clear, it's plain. We are to consider one another in order to, here's the purpose, here's the true purpose, to stir up love and good works. To stir up love and good works. To stir up is to excite. It's really the thought of motivation. This time of year, it's cold, and you don't really want to go outside and do anything, so you can maybe watch a basketball game or a football game. And if you, especially in basketball, because you can see the coaches better than you often can in the football game, well, what are they doing? They're trying to motivate their team. Some coaches are throwing chairs. Some coaches are yelling. Some coaches are taking their jackets off, and some are calmly speaking to the team in a huddle and trying to encourage them. What are they trying to do? Stirring them up. It's the same thing a politician does. It's the same thing a military leader does. It's the same thing an employer does. They are trying to motivate, to stir up, to excite the people who are following them. But you know what? It's not only those in leadership's responsibility, is it? What do you see on that team? A guy messes up. He misses a kick that could have won the game or could have put the team ahead. What do you see the other guys doing? They come up to him. They're encouraging him. Hey, you're going to get another shot. We're going to get the ball back. We're going to give you another chance. You see, it's the fellow employees who can also motivate one another. It's those fellow soldiers who can also encourage each other. It's the fellow citizens who can come alongside and try to stir up each other. So it's not just those in leadership. No, the one another's we are to stir up love and good works. Who needs to be stirred up? Who needs to be stirred up? Well, one another need to be stirred up. That's what it says, right? Look again, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I think the clearest, most obvious first glance says that one another need to be stirred up. This particular brother, this particular sister, and what's the best way to stir him or her up? For some people, the best way to stir them up is to emphasize the rewards, the blessings that come from obedience. Some, if you present the need, their hearts are stirred. Some, if you present the idea of the body of Christ, they are motivated to be a part of that and to go to work. Some people, you can stress the benefits to other people, and that will motivate them. Others, there's the thought of personal growth. Some, there's the motivation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ telling us what to do. Some are motivated by the example of others. Some are motivated by a simple invitation. Others are motivated by the consequences of not being stirred up. So the question for you and the question for me, as we pay attention to one another, Now, the way I might try to motivate you might be different from the way you try to motivate this person. Or the way you motivate me may be different than the way that you would stir up another brother here in the room. Should I be firm or gentle? Does this person require me in stirring them up to be persistent or patient? Obvious or subtle? Public or private, and you could go on and on. How can I best stir them up? So one another, but I think another thought here, which came to my mind as you read it again, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know, I thought maybe as I consider you, and I pay attention to you, and I discover you, and I regard your condition, maybe I'm the one that's going to be stirred up. Maybe that's going to stir me up. I think in the grammar here could lead us either way. Stirring up one another, or maybe in considering you and really getting to know you, maybe I'm going to be stirred up. Stirred up to what? Stirred up to love, we read in the verse. Love, the action of seeking the best for the one loved. May include emotion. It may not include emotion. It may include a feeling, or it might not include a feeling. It's an action of seeking the best for the one loved. The love for God, love for one another, love for unbelievers. And then there's good works. A stirring up not only love, but also stirring up good works. Actions that glorify God. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Good works are actions that glorify God. It could be something very simple and unseen and still glorify God. It could be something that we would look at and say, that was a good work. But you know, there's a lot of things that would fall under this heading of good works. Actions that glorify God. So you have the action. I want you to notice this in this true purpose. First of all, I want you to notice the action. The action of considering one another. That's an action. That's not passive. That's active. So you have that action of considering, and then that leads to the action of stirring up, either from within you or from within them. So an action of considering leads to an action of stirring up, leads to the actions of love and good works. Notice there, love equals action. Good work equals action, okay? We're talking about action here. We're talking about doing something by the power of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus. But it is an action. You see, here's our challenge. Get stirred up about stirring up love and good works. I want you to be stirred up. I do. I want everybody in this room to be stirred up. I want myself to be stirred up. Not just for an hour when we're gathered together. I want us to be stirred up throughout the week. Stirred up to love. And we're going to look at that in a couple weeks. Love one another. The most repeated one another command in the epistles and in the New Testament. Stirred up to love, and also stirred up to good works. I can't work my way to heaven. My works are not going to endear me to God, but good works, Ephesians 2:10 says that those good works have been already planned by God for me to do. The question is, am I going to do them? I'm not saved by works. No, it's by grace. I'm saved through faith and not of myself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, very quickly here, number three of our four considerations, considering the bigger picture of considering one another. We want to step back a little bit. You know, you start looking at a verse like this and you start getting real personal and digging in there, and you kind of get this little view of part of it, but I want us just to step back and get a full body portrait. Okay? A full body portrait. You know what body we're talking about. The body of Christ. We're members of one another. We're all part of the same body. Step back and get a viewpoint that's more inclusive of the full body portrait. There in verse 25 we find it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You see, this is the context of assembling ourselves together, in which we find this idea of considering one another. I'm just continuing the sentence. I'm breathing where the comma is, but I'm not stopping because there's not a period there. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some in that day had gotten into the habit of not gathering together. Some in our day have gotten into the habit of not gathering together. You say, well, you're preaching to the choir. Choir, they left and went down there. I'm preaching to the choir because you're here, right? You're gathered together. We've got to be careful that we don't neglect that. There are other opportunities during the week, too, that we can gather together as a local church, a local body. I would encourage you to be a part of that. We gather for the Lord's Supper, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, at 9:30. We gather on Sunday nights. We hear the Word taught. We fellowship together. We sing. We gather on Wednesday night. We pray. We have a time of devotion as a brother shares with us some thoughts from the Scripture. But it's this whole context of assembling ourselves together. In order to pay attention to one another, really, we need to be together. Now, I know we live in a digital age. I understand that. And I know that we can text things and we can get on Skype and we can call. And those are all good. And I say use them. Use them to consider each other. But don't let them become a substitute for what we're doing. Gathering. Okay? Gathering together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I had another thought here, but I don't have time to really look at it. The connection with exhorting. And you see that in the rest of the verse. Hebrews 3:12-13 is a good connecting verse there, because it also has this thought of exhorting one another while it is called today. And maybe we'll look at that more. But it's interesting to me that here in verse 25, we read about exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, the day of judgment coming upon this earth, the day of the Lord Jesus returning to the earth. 7 years after he has come to the clouds and called up the believers to be with him. But we have that kind of juxtaposed with today. Today. Exhorting in the context of today is the day, and then exhorting in the context of the day that's coming. So we do it today. Today's the day. But we're doing it in light of a day that is to come. So here's our principle very quickly. Considering one another is most effectively done in the context of being with one another. In other words, in community. This whole idea of being of one another. And not only being one another when we gather, but trying to find other times to gather as well. We have some times we can gather, and I think those are excellent opportunities. Not only during the meeting, before and after the meeting, or between the meetings, but then finding other opportunities as well. But we have to be together. Okay, we're going to close with a few practical how-tos of considering one another. How-tos of considering one another. Five very quickly. We're not going to be able to go very deeply into them, but they're pretty obvious anyway. So I just want to give you a few things. First of all, examine your looks, okay? We already talked about a mirror, but that's not the kind of looks I'm talking about right now, okay? We used to sing a song, and some of you remember the song, "Get the New Look from the Old Book." Get the new look from God's Bible. You get the upward look, the outward look, the inward look from the old book, okay? So we need to examine our looks. You see, the primary problem. Here's problem number one, enemy number one, when it comes to doing this idea of considering one another. It's self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. I will not ask you to raise your hand if you have a problem with self-centeredness, because I don't want to raise my hand in front of you either, okay? But we all have issues with self-centeredness. We're focused on self, okay? That is the problem. We're focused on self. How can I be focused on you? How can I pay attention to you and consider you if all I'm doing is considering me? Focusing on self, promoting self, protecting self to the exclusion of others. Or maybe it's that I'm only paying attention to those who are close to me or to those who benefit me. My looks. Get the new look from the old book. Look upward to the Lord. Am I being more conformed to the unselfish image of the Lord Jesus? Our brother prayed that before we started this morning, or after we'd started singing. He prayed that we would be more like the Lord Jesus. What is His evaluation of my heart? My first look is upward. And then there's an inward look to my own heart attitude. My attitude about myself, my attitude about others. And then there's that outward look of considering one another, discovering one another, and really getting to know one another. Examine my looks. Number two, peer into the cracks and the hiding places. If you're really going to consider one another, you got to check out the cracks, because you see there are people slipping through the cracks. And you might be feeling like, I'm one of those. I wish somebody would consider me. I'm falling through the cracks and nobody knows and nobody cares. We got to look in the cracks. Who's slipping through the cracks? We need to consider them. And who's hiding? We've already talked about the tendency that some of us have to hide and to not want to be considered by others. We've got to peer into the cracks and into the hiding places. Our brother Ronnie last Sunday morning encouraged us to pray, and he used the example of going through the chapel directory. And I want to take that same application or same illustration and apply it to considering one another, going through the chapel directory. And say, who in here have I considered? Who do I need to consider? Who's falling in through the cracks? Who's hiding? Thirdly, we need to search for both ingredients. As you consider me and I consider you, and this thought of love and good works, you know, I'm thinking about who is doing good works, but as best you can tell, it's without true love. If you see me doing good things, but you don't sense a true love flowing from me, then maybe you need to come and encourage me in that. I might need to be admonished like we looked at 2 weeks ago. I might need to be prayed for. And then, who might be professing to love? And they talk a lot about love and loving other people, but you don't see the outward manifestation of that. You don't see actions that glorify God in their life toward others. So maybe, again, there needs to be some encouragement. Some of that exhorting that we see in verse 25, that urging, that pushing onward. Number four of our five is to follow the leader. Imitate the Lord Jesus. You know, He considered us, didn't He? He considered us. And that, along with the will of His Father, is why He came to this earth. And that, along with the will of His Father, is why He went to the cross. Because He was considering you and considering me. And even now, He is considering us, and He knows us better than anyone. And we should follow Him as He stirs us up. We should be led by His Spirit in considering others. We should lead by example. And then finally, we need to get started right now. That's where we're going to finish. Today is the day, we would have read in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10 if we'd have gotten there. Today is the day, okay? Today is the day. There's no time like the present. Three P's. You ready? Pray, plan, and practice. Okay? Pray, plan, and practice. I want you to start right now. We're going to give you a moment to do we're going to give you a chance to do that in just a moment. But considering one another, some people say, I want some ministry on practical Christian living, something that I can put my teeth into and I can put my shoe leather on. Here it is. It's a bunch of people in this room right now. There's a lot of people part of this local church that aren't in this room. Here is practical Christian living. Considering one another. Consider one another. Pay closer attention to one another in order to stir up love and good works in the context of the community of believers by practically following the Lord Jesus. We're going to bow our heads. Our brother's going to come up and he's going to be ready. To play a verse. One verse. You only have one verse opportunity to start right now, but you can pray as I pray. And then you can make a plan. Who in this room do you need to consider? I want you to pick one person. I want everybody in here to pick a person that you want to consider, you need to consider. And I don't want you to practice it. I'm going to encourage you to do that. I'm going to encourage you to speak to someone after this meeting, and I want you to say more than, hey, how are you? I want you to say something like, how can I pray for you this week? Or is there something going on in your life that I could help you with? Something practical. Or maybe you want to share a verse with them. That's fine. But I want you to think about one person. I'm going to pray quickly. Our brother's going to play that verse just while you think and meditate and pray. Plan and practice, the pray and the planning. That's going to be during our time of silence, and then we'll get up and practice. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. It's been a great blessing to be with these lovely people. Father, they are precious to you. Thank you for making them precious to me. Thank you that we can consider one another and that we should consider one another to stir up love and good works. And Father, as we each in this time of silence think about someone, at least one person that we can consider today. And Father, help bring others to our minds. Help us to be proactive in this. And help us to consider one another. May the evidence to the world of the love that comes to this place that's already been shed abroad in our hearts by the Lord Jesus. And Father, I do pray for any here who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Please convict them of their sins right now during this time of silence. May they see the Lord Jesus is the one who died for their sins and rose again. We pray in His name. Amen.